Hello, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days that have a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast, we will be looking at news from the week beginning 15th of April. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
If we look at our first story, Kate, it stems from a 20th of March email in which a female worker in Microsoft's data center asked a large number of female colleagues for some career advancement tips. Her email quickly snowballed into a 90-page chain of emails in which female Microsoft staff recounted personal experiences of sexual discrimination and bullying. One worker, for example, wrote, "As a Microsoft partner, I was asked to sit on someone's lap twice in one meeting in front of HR and other executives. I can assure you that nothing was done. I alone objected and cited Microsoft policy. The person said that he did not have to listen and repeated the request a second time. No one said anything." Quartz had also noticed that buried near the top of the email stack was a sympathetic message from a female executive who had replied to the career tips seeker, "I was disappointed to read your email and hear that you have not had a good experience. I am going to set up time with you to follow up and learn more. I don't want anyone in my organization, Microsoft, or frankly anywhere to feel this way. I know we have a lot more to do with respect to career planning for data center technicians, and as a result, I have recently launched the Career Hub. My team is working on how to communicate this more effectively and broadly so that everyone knows what resources are available. We are also in the process of training our data center managers to be better positioned to lead, coach, and mentor. I want you to know that you have my support. We'll be in touch shortly." Now, Kate, what does the tone and relatively timeliness of this message say about how to listen to staff in contrast to the HR dead ends that the firm's harassment accusers ran into?
I thought what was interesting about that response was, although initially it seemed to be very sympathetic, very in tune, really understanding the challenges of female workers at Microsoft, it soon became something about career development, and it was so quickly formalized into, oh, we're going to have a policy for this and we're going to have resources for that. And it might have been much more effective if just listening to the experiences of female employees in Microsoft who are suffering degrees of harassment, it certainly appears, that is not being taken seriously. And that to me is the real challenge. How, after so many years of so much campaigning about inappropriate behaviour in the workplace, not only do we still hear stories like this, but HR, in this particular example, seem to be powerless to fight against that sort of culture. And I'm wondering, if we looked at the policy documents in Microsoft, I'm sure there'd be an awful lot about diversity, inclusivity, and how such behaviour isn't tolerated, and what a big gap there is between what companies write and the actual day-to-day reality of working in them.
Thank you very much, Kate. If we now move on to our second story, the Federation of Small Businesses has granted honorary memberships to the four companies recognised in this year's Soldiering On Awards held on the 5th of April. The annual Soldiering On Awards acknowledge achievements in entrepreneurship on the part of ex-services personnel, demonstrating the breadth of opportunities that exist for veterans after their military careers. The four winners, whose entrepreneurial ideas include the production of honey, Afghan rugs, broadband connectivity, will be able to take advantage of the FSB's extensive range of support services and training and recruitment and plug into a ready-made network of like-minded firms that can share valuable experiences. Kate, what does the variety of business types say about how veterans should frame their aspirations when they are preparing to enter civilian life?
Well, as you know, we've conducted research in this area, redeploying leadership, tales of transition. We have a LinkedIn group devoted to transitioning, helping veterans move from military careers into civilian ones. And I think sometimes we forget which skills are truly transferable. Maybe we spend too much time trying to match occupations with occupations, signals going into telecoms, and huge number of people going into project management because it seems that there's a good fit. But what these stories show is what's really transferable are resilience, hard work, ability to keep going when things aren't working the way you'd want them to. And if we encourage more veterans to think more broadly about what they have to offer, because we found in our research that that ability to work in teams and that close proximity, and I think you're able then to tolerate interpersonal relationships that those of us who've only ever worked in civilian organisations would probably find intolerable. So let's really look at what veterans are bringing and the skills, the life skills, if you like, that they've acquired during their service that actually then make them so good at starting their own businesses and sticking with those great ideas.
Thank you, Kate. In this week's Thinking Aloud on Radio 4, Laurie Taylor talks to Melissa Gregg, Research Director at Intel, and Peter Bloom, Head of the Department of People and Organizations at the Open University and author of CEO Society. Laurie Taylor says that he's heard many inspirational speeches from CEOs at any number of conferences, and he still wonders how they have become deserving of such respect and even hero worship. Peter Bloom actually claims that CEOs individually have little impact on corporate performance, and the notion that they deserve their large salaries is because they are the people that can make or break organizations, and this view is mistaken. It actually perpetuates a fantasy of meritocracy. It allows us to believe that anyone who has vision and works hard enough can succeed, and it ignores the existence of a powerful elite safeguarding their own interests. Kate, what is it that makes the great man theory of leadership so popular in much of our leadership theory even today?
It is interesting, isn't it? In spite of so much evidence that actually it's people, relationships, teams that make for successful organisations. And indeed, last year particularly, we heard so many what one would have thought of as great leaders coming forward and saying, well, it wasn't really me, it was the people around me. Of course, there will be exceptional individuals. But this rise of the CEO as some sort of celebrity does seem to coincide almost with our national appetite for reality television. We want heroes. We want people who we can say, oh, yes, they are responsible for this, or they are not responsible. And I think people like Laurie Taylor, Peter Bloom, challenging these notions are really welcome, and something that, of course, we continue to do at the Institute. You know, leadership is a collaborative, relational pursuit. It is not a collection of attributes possessed by an individual.
Now, in the same broadcast, Melissa Gregg poses some very interesting questions about our quest for maximum efficiency in our management of time and how corporate approaches have been adopted and encouraged by the authors of self-help books. Are there any lessons to be learned here, Kate?
That was really interesting. We're almost importing these corporate models of time management that lead to effective and maximum productivity into our personal lives. And also the notion that you're the CEO of your own brand is a popular one. So are they helping us? I think they're perhaps giving an illusion that this is a good, productive way. Let's start the day with a list. Let's decide what's important and what's urgent. And you can see that there is something quite compelling about that. But I think you only have to go into any bookstore and see how many self-help titles are on there to question whether actually the transfer is that effective.
Well, thank you very much for that, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the news and views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insight on these stories.